The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we know that you are the giver of good things and that you want us to prosper, to thrive, and that certainly one of the ways that we thrive is through your holy word. It's food, Lord, and nourishment to our souls. And so we ask that the Spirit of God will take the word of God today and bless us abundantly in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, I think it's probably a good thing about some of the things about social media, you know, that many times we want to share what's going on in our life, right? Especially if there's good things happening. People will post on their blessings, they share with the people out there the blessings and the things that are happening, the things they're celebrating. And, you know, those are good things. Not against that. But it has created, apparently, something else, something called FOMO. FOMO. Have you heard of it? FOMO. Fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. It's an uneasy feeling that someone somewhere is living the best life, and it's definitely not you. While you're reheating last night's leftovers and scrolling through social media, someone else is scuba diving in the Maldives, riding horseback through Tuscany, sailing on a yacht in the Mediterranean, all of it being filmed by a drone. UK evangelist Canon J. John said that this FOMO is the belief that life is hugging everyone else while you're stuck holding the coats. It's what happens when we compare the curated, filtered, glammed up highlight reel of someone else's day to our own slightly overcooked Friday. It says they are having more fun than us. Their kids are doing better than mine. Their grandchildren love them more than my grandchildren. They even eat better stuff than I eat, right?
you get a picture of that big juicy cheeseburger on somebody's social media, and there you are with your fish sticks and macaroni and cheese. Well, FOMO, the fear of missing out. Not sure what was exactly going on in Colossae. We have the Colossian heresy, and there's a lot of discussion among scholars. What was that heresy? Was it Gnosticism? For a long time, people believed it was this idea of Gnosticism, of having a special language, a special knowledge for special people. But lately, studies have said, well, it probably wasn't exactly Gnosticism that they were dealing with. Was it something that had Jewish elements to it? Paul talks about them celebrating festivals and the Sabbath and new moons. Probably something that had a little bit of that Jewish component to it. Most likely it was some sort of mysticism, something that was a Jewish and pagan mix. We know there was the worship of angels that Paul will talk about in the letter. Some kind of mysticism going on here among the Christians, the new Christians in Colossae. Whatever it was, it seemed to teach that you Christians, you've not experienced the fullness of God. You're missing out here. And it's only by this mystical experience, this special ascetic preparation, or is it some kind of knowledge? It's only by having that that you're going to really get in on the fullness of God. It was telling the people you're missing out on the good life. Now, you know, I think we've all felt that way at times, right? Sometimes maybe it's just good old-fashioned envy, right? That's a sin. The Bible talks about envy and wanting, desiring what others have. But other times, life has a tendency to knock you down, right? To take your feet out from under you. And you look around and you think, man, why is it happening to me? Why is everybody else doing so well? I'm missing out. Well, Paul's answer to the Colossians in his letter is that the fullness of God is embodied in Christ. And we are united to him by faith and have direct access to that fullness. And that's why in these few verses, 6 through 15 in chapter 2, and I went through there and you just mark them with a highlighter, this little phrase, in Christ or with him, and you just notice that over and over again in these few verses, you have, we walk in him, we're built up in him. In him is all the fullness of the deity. We are filled in him. We are circumcised with him. We are buried with him. We are raised with him. We are alive together with him, and we triumph over them. That's the principalities, the powers, the unseen evil that Paul speaks about that we don't see, but that spiritual warfare realm that's going on. Paul says, in him, Jesus, we've already triumphed over them. And that's just this little text here in Colossians. If you go through the book of Colossians, you'll see it over and over. With him, in him we have. Verse 3 says, in whom, Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, the Colossian heresy, they were telling the people, Well, this stuff is kind of hidden. It's not for everybody, and there's a special way or a special group. If you want to get in on the fun, if you want to get in on the abundance, if you want to get in on what, you know, the real thing here, it's a hidden mysticism. It's a hidden knowledge. Paul says that's just anything they're offering you. It's empty deceit. It's empty. We're not missing out. Because in Jesus are the treasures, all of the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. You know, I was reading over this Genesis 18, and we talked about that last week, didn't we? And I was reading over that again this week, and I saw something there. You know, as many times as you read it, just a little something there in Genesis 18 that I never noticed before. It said, now we know that God came down with the angels, and the purpose of coming down was to bring judgment to Sodom and Gomorrah. God said, it's so wicked. The cry has come up to me, and I personally am coming down to see what's going on here, to look into it. And we talked last week about this whole appearance with Abraham. But after he and Abraham have dinner and they have this discussion about the birth of Isaac, something I never really noticed before, it says, the angels turned and went to Sodom. And we know there were two of them. We know when we read on that, right, Lot's at the gate and it says two angels appeared. The angels turned and went, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. That's easy to pass over that, but, you know, I was thinking, the Lord had a pretty big thing to take care of with Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, that's pretty big stuff. And God has to come down and destroy a place with fire and brimstone. Big stuff. And yet it tells us that Abraham still stood there. That there's this picture of those two angels walking off. You could see them in the distance. But God is supposed to do this. And this is a big deal. This is important business. But the Lord of the universe, he's staying there with Abraham. They're alone. And they're going to talk through this. Are we important to God? Are you important? Just me in this vast universe and solar system. It's bigger every year. It gets bigger and they see more of it. And every year we're smaller and smaller in this universe, in this world, in this country, in this town. How big are we really? But does the Lord care about you? Does he care about one person? The psalmist writes, for though the Lord is high, yet he has respect for the lowly. Jesus said, you know, look how friends treat friends. If a friend wakes up a friend in the middle of the night for another friend, even though it's midnight, even though everybody's in bed, even though it's a tremendous bother, they'll take care of them. Look how fathers treat their sons. If the son needs something to eat, they're not going to give him a scorpion. They're not going to give him a snake. How much more does your heavenly Father care for you? And again, in verse 8 of our psalm, the Lord shall make good his loving kindness toward me. That word there in the Hebrew, the Lord shall make good. A better translation would be, bring to an end, fulfill his purpose. The Lord will fulfill his purpose. He will bring your life, your purpose, your situation to its end, to its purpose. I'd like to just go back to another story that I read about from our evangelist in the UK speaking on this subject of FOMO. He said he recently spent a holiday in Greece. And he said, you know, my wife and I, we were just famished. Went to the hotel where we were staying and so hungry, and sat down, and the waiter hands us the menu. And I look and it says, lamb, slow roasted in honey and thyme. Grilled prawns nestled on saffron infused risotto. Baklava bathed in rose water syrup. And he said, wow, that sounded good. All of a sudden, the waiter comes by, snatches the menu out of his hand, says, oh, that's not for you. You people are half bored. I wasn't familiar with that term. I think I looked it up. I think it's more European. But evidently, you go on vacation, right? And it's what part of the package do you want? Right? Do you want the full package or the half package, the discount? You get in on the discount where you only get certain meals or certain foods. Or evidently, half bored was a way in Greece of saying, you're not in on that meal. We have, you know, here's what you're getting. You have no choice. You're getting a bowl of soup. And he says, like, it's 90 degrees. I don't want soup. You're getting a bowl of soup. You're getting some fish. And we don't even know what kind of fish. We're not even telling you what kind of fish. And you're getting a slice of apple pie. And so he said, we sat there during the whole meal, you know, watching the waiter bring this roasted lamb by and watching him bring all this other and smelling the smells. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're not missing out. It's not a half-bored situation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.